Okay, great to have you there with us. Now, of course, the issue of insurance is in the spotlight again. Four Corners on Monday night, of course, had a look at the Commonwealth Bank's insurance bureaucracy known as Cominsure. And in the report by Adele Ferguson, and it was with support by Fairfax Media, reports showed, indicated that some clients have been denied payouts after a heart attack on the basis of a medical definition, which the bank itself had known since 2014 was out of date and inadequate. And a lot of it all came down to the fine print of an insurance policy. And as the editorial in the Sydney Morning Herald said yesterday, a common pattern, not just with Cominsure, but across the spectrum when it comes to people's life insurance and these sort of issues, a common pattern emerges in cases that the pursuit of greater profits from a corporate entity is seeing those same companies lose sight of the people without whom none of its profits are possible. That is, the customers, the consumers, the purchasers of services. Now, with all of this in mind, it was very telling to read a piece by Robert Joseph in the Wealth section of The Australian yesterday. Robert Joseph is a specialist advisor at My SMSF Property, you know, self-managed super fund, SMSF, and he went through a scenario of his own recently dealing with insurance policies, life insurance policies, but some of the traps involved more broadly. I thought we'd get Robert on quickly to have a look at this. Robert, for your time this morning, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Michael.
It's a little bit confusing for a lot of people when they go out and take insurance for anything, but as your piece points out in the Oz yesterday, or pointed out in the Oz, I should say, yesterday, there are a few traps for new players when it comes to life insurance, aren't there?
Absolutely. The key thing with super insurance is to be mindful that what we call automatic acceptance cover can come with a lot of hidden traps and conditions, and it's becoming more prevalent. It's kind of a newer thing, but the issue is that a lot of people aren't, where previously people were going to see a financial advisor, and nearly 90% of all insurance placed was through a financial advisor or an insurance agent. More so now, more and more of the insurance gap is being filled by people getting automatic cover for life TPD and salary continuance insurance in a super fund.
So instead of going face-to-face, talking to an individual, an accountant or some sort of financial specialist, and they say, look, with your pre-existing conditions, I wouldn't go with policy A, policy B would be wise, or pointing out all the potential shortfalls, that is, if you die before 2 years of this, you won't get any money, and all of these potential traps, people are just basically signing up cold, not knowing all the details.
Absolutely. In fact, the case in point with my wife's policy last year, well, we opened up a Virgin Super account. She's a childcare educator and worked part-time. And I was shocked to see that she got a letter in the mail telling us that she'd been given $250,000 for the life of TPD. So went ahead and gave them a call and asked them why, and they wanted to cancel it because there's no benefit to her, really. We didn't have much debt at all. And I thought it was absorbent. It was a very high amount of debt, or life and TPD cover for her, based on her income, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is that, as you write in your piece, underinsurance has always been an issue in Australia, with less than 4% of us holding what the insurance industry, describes as adequate cover. But in order to try to improve on those statistics, it seems some of us are taking shortcuts.
Absolutely. Look, and that's, we're seeing it more and more with group policies and super. The second area we're seeing growth in is a lot of, TV and a lot of online brokers. And a lot of these people are driven with commercial incentives and unfortunately forget that the end consumer, tends to suffer. A prime example is that, the online brokers, they provide a good service in a whole, but unfortunately a lot of their products are priced at the cheap end and there's no advice. It's a no-advice model. So the end consumer's got to consider things like the definitions in the policy, the benefit amount, the costs, and of course also the waiting periods and other exclusions and inclusions.
Yeah, and of course there was the rather high-profile case of now the late Tony Gregg and issues to do with some of those details you've just outlined in his particular circumstance. You write in the piece that insurance arrangements in super, and this is, I think, is where a lot of people have their life insurance through their super fund, you say they're a ticking time bomb. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, if you look at Tony Gregg's situation and many other people, we've had even our own clients, more so with TPD insurance claims, life insurance tends to be a bit more straightforward. It's more so the salary continuance and the TPD insurance. TPD insurance is a very low payout ratio across the cost insurers around Australia. Very, very hard definition to get paid out because the fundamental definition is called an any occupation definition. Putting in simple terms, if you can do any occupation other than yours, then they don't have to pay you. That's a very, very a broad policy definition. It's a very tough one to get paid out on. The salary continuance insurance, of course, is also a two-year benefit typically in superannuation, and that can cause issues. The bigger issue is, of course, if you're underage, under pension age, you've got to go to the hurdle of getting the trustee of the super fund, the retail industry fund, to release them. Well, first you've got to get paid by the insurance company and then have the trustee approve that and pay you. And then if you don't meet a condition of release being of pension age, you can't draw the money out.
Mm. Okay, so I mean, there are calls. I was reading the Herald's editorial yesterday on this. We saw Four Corners recently. There's a lot of innuendo and stories going around this whole insurance, or particularly life insurance, debate at the moment. I mean, are we getting to the point where we need some kind of government inquiry or a commission of some sort to get to the bottom of just how broad this has ballooned out, and just how many people are getting, well, either no advice or bad guidance, taking out inappropriate policies, and some of the details of those policies?
Without a doubt. I think it's getting so frivolous that, as we've talked about the super insurance, the group insurance policies, online insurance, particularly the television advertising, which is interesting because it's really the insurance companies rebranding some of their products very flimsily, and the outcome there can be seen in on the FOS.gov site, where you can see all the complaints, the ratio of payouts and the complaints. And some of the big insurers owned by the banks are very, very poor payout ratios. Common Shore is about 80% on average.
What about though? I mean, broadly speaking, people say, look, I take out life insurance in case I need it. And if you have a legitimate claim, you should be able to indeed access it. Is there certainly a case to be made that a lot of these insurance groups, without mentioning names, there are a group of insurance providers out there who are simply operating far too much for profit, and using the fine print as an excuse not to pay out when legitimate claims are made?
There's absolutely no doubt about that. And I think those inferior policies that we're seeing, again, to reiterate, on the television advertised policies, the ones online, what we call them direct insurers, or the TV insurers. And then you've got also, it's very rare that the underwritten insurance that advisors offer, it's very rare to see them not paid out on. The industry standards and the ratings and so forth mean that those policies are well looked after and the clients are well looked after. But yeah, there are a lot of flimsy policies. We're even talking about a repeat story with the Australian in a fortnight's time about now car dealers offering insurance. So you buy a car and they bolt on life insurance or income protection insurance. And again, these are very flimsy policies.
Good to talk. No doubt this is a conversation that's going to snowball a little further before it goes away or some resolution is found. For your time this morning, Robert Joseph, thank you very much.
Much appreciated, Michael. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Robert Joseph there, Specialist Advisor at MySMSF Property.